Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. And though it may be a rainy day and a stormy day, God, we know that you reign in our hearts, that you rule in our lives. And so, God, as we come to you this morning, I pray that our hearts are ready, that our minds are in tune, that we want to hear from you. God, that we would be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, those that are committed to being great disciples, that we are committed to letting your life flow through us and letting your will be done. So I pray for all of us, those that are watching over the internet, those that are here in the studio on the church property, God, I pray that your presence would be felt. I pray that we would be sensitive to your spirit, that you would in fact speak to us. We know your word always does speak to us, but God, I pray your word would specifically speak to us in these days that we are living with so much uncertainty, so much fear, so much confusion. God, we know that only you know all things. Only you can bring us that assurance and that rest, even in the midst of all these things that are going on in our world. So God, we ask for your wisdom, and your word declares if we ask, you will give it to us liberally. So we're asking this morning, give us wisdom, help us to discern the times that we're living in. We look forward to your return, but until that time, we are going to continue to be faithful to serve you and to be drawn closer to you on times like this. So to you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 20, this morning I want to talk about influence. Influence. See, when Jesus said to his followers, you are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, what he was saying is, I want you to be an influencer. I want you to be someone that makes a difference in the world. So whether you believe it or not, or like it or not, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are an influencer. Whether you're influencing people to be more faithful, or maybe you're influencing someone to be more confident in God or to trust God during a tough time. Even in our church, there's so many prayer requests, so many needs in each other's lives, whether it's family members or personal people going through difficult times. The influence that we should be able to have on each other is to be faithful to God and be confident in God. So you are an influencer, whether you like it or not. So I'm asking you, what influence are you having on other people? What influence are you having on other people? See, God gives us, and I've been saying this for many weeks now, but God gives us those opportunities to influence people. God gives us opportunities to help people, to assist people, to encourage people. But how are we encouraging them? How are we influencing them? Are we influencing them in a positive way through God's word? Or are we influencing them through a fleshly way and instilling fear and anxiety? Because that's what we're seeing in the world today. A lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of, uncertainty. How's this month going to end? How's this year going to end? What are we looking at? How long is this pandemic going to last? How long are we going to have to do things this way? How long are we going to have to wear masks in order to go into places? Again, there's so many questions. So we need to be followers of Christ that are being influencers, but we have to be influenced by God. We have to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, not by the news, not by the things that we hear, not by people's opinion, but by God and by the Holy Spirit. How are you influencing others? When I think about the people in my life that have influenced me the most, I certainly think of my parents, my mom and dad. My mom was such a loving person, and she taught me to be loving towards other people. My dad was such a faithful husband, a faithful father, and he taught me to be faithful. So my parents were a huge influence. Obviously, teachers influence us. They teach us and train us in all the things that we need to learn in order to do life. So they can be, maybe there's a teacher in your life that made a special impact in your existence, in the person that you are. I think of several people, teachers in my life that I can still to this day picture them teaching me, whether it was mathematics or calculus or all those things. There's different people, teachers that really spoke into my life. So people influence us. There's certainly other pastors in my life that have influenced my life. Is there people in your life that are influencing you, that are helping you walk this path that you're supposed to be on as a Christian? And then I would also ask, what are the current influences in your life? What are the influences currently? In other words, what is happening in your day-to-day, week by week? What are those things that are influencing you? Are you being influenced by negative people? Are you being influenced by people that are angry? Or are you being encouraged by people that are walking with God? Again, the more kinds of people we hang around, we tend to be like those people. So consider who it is in your life that you're allowing into your life and how they're influencing you. I have a friend who it was yesterday morning. He actually was saying he was sitting out on the front lawn with his spouse. They were 10 feet apart because I guess one of them came in contact with someone who had the coronavirus. And they were talking, and this man had recently given his life to the Lord. He had recently, pursued the things of faith more consistently. And his wife mentioned, she goes, I can tell that you have a lot more peace in your life. Things are different this time with some of the things that he's going through in his life. His wife noticed a change. His wife noticed there was something different. And he was able to give testimony that difference was a relationship with God. That difference was knowing the Word of God, knowing the character of God. So, as believers, we need to be influencing other people and to show people that our change, our difference, our strength comes from God. So I'm asking you this morning, as we look at this text, be a positive influencer. Be a positive influencer. And that's the title of my message. Be a positive influencer. Acts chapter 20, if you would, read with me in verse 1. The Bible says, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed there 3 months. When the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. These men, going ahead, waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, or the Passover, and in 5 days joined them in Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So again, having this thought of being a positive influence, being a positive influence, there's three things real quickly I want us to see in this area of text. Our first point is in this text that we just read. To be a positive influence, you have to be an encourager. So being an encourager, and that's what we see in verses 1 and 2. Now, I don't know what translation of Bible you may be reading from, but in the New King James, it says that he embraced them in verse 1. As Paul called the disciples together, it says he embraced them and departed to Macedonia. And then verse 2, it says, now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them. Well, that word embrace and that word encourage both mean encouragement. They're both the same word. Paul was an encourager by nature. And I believe in order for us to be an influence or to be an influencer in our world, we have to be a person that encourages one another, that encourages people. We need people in the world that are encouragers. And like I said, Paul was an encourager. Everywhere he went, from church to church or town to town, he was there to encourage them in the things of God, encourage them in the things of Jesus Christ, encouraging them to put their faith and hope in Jesus. We need more encouragers in the world. As I said, I think it was last week or the week before, it's real easy to complain. You get around someone who's a complainer and you'll tend to complain. But I believe if you get around someone who's an encourager, you'll tend to be encouraged. And I just love the fact that Paul, as he comes into this area, he wants to encourage them. He wants to encourage the disciples. He wants to, you know, just encourage them in the things of God. And he's not encouraging them, you know, to be successful in business. He's not encouraging them to, you know, get ahead in their workplace. He's encouraging them, if they're men, he's encouraging them to be good fathers and good husbands. If they're women, he's encouraging them to be loving towards their husbands and to raise up their children. Paul was an encourager in the things of God. And if we're going to make an influence, if we're going to make a difference in our children's lives and in people we run into's lives, we have to encourage in the things of God. Not in our own wisdom, but in the wisdom of the Lord. See, the Bible tells us that he stayed there 3 months in verse 3. So for 3 months, the Apostle Paul, I believe, was encouraging these believers, and how encouraged they must have been. I'd like to challenge you this week to be an encourager. I challenge you this week to find ways to encourage. But listen, we can always find faults in people. We can always find problems. But I encourage you this week to find solutions and find the positive things that are around you. Even on a stormy, rainy day like today. And maybe when I was younger, I would be like, ugh, I don't like rainy days. But boy, I'll tell you what, rainy days tell me it's couch time. Rainy days tell me it's time to relax and kick back and enjoy the day. Find ways to encourage other people. It's actually the same word we see at the end of verse 12, where it talks about comforted. Comforted. Paul talks about he comforted them. And it's like, that's what this world needs. They need to be comforted. I can tell you, I've got at least 5 people I'm praying for, their 6 siblings, the financial burdens that they're going through, the difficulties that they're having, the struggles that they're experiencing right now in their relationships, the tough times they're having with work or not being at work or the pandemic. I mean, we're just praying for people all the time to be encouraged in these days that we're living in. And it's hard to be encouraged in a day where everything just seems to be going wrong. But as believers, we have the hope of Jesus. We have the hope of heaven. We have the only message that can be of hope. And so we see here this first thing, an encourager. Paul is an encourager. And then it goes into detail and names these 7 men that Paul is with. And there's something about companionship, isn't there? There's something about being around other positive people. And I believe Paul and these 7 men were just encouragers in each other's lives, but encouraging each other to make an impact in their community, make an impact in their travels. Many of these men came from different areas. They had different backgrounds, but they had a common denominator. They had a common connection, and that was Jesus Christ. So get around people that have that common connection with you, that common bond of faith in Jesus. The enemy wants you to get by yourself. The enemy wants you to go off on your own and feel lonely and feel desperate and feel anxious. But maybe sometimes God just says, I need you to get around some other loving brothers, around some other loving sisters. Fellowship is something that is in the core of our souls. Believers or not, we want fellowship. We want to be around other people so that we can have a relationship with them. And I imagine these 7 men, and actually 8 men, because Luke actually comes back on the scene, the writer of the book of Acts, comes in and says, we, there in verse, where was it? These men going ahead waited for us, in verse 5, at Troas. So Luke is also there. So these 8 plus Paul, 9 people are traveling together, traveling companions. And we need people in our lives that are going to hold us accountable. Because that's an encouragement. Holding you accountable. Holding you accountable in your lifestyle. Holding you accountable in the choices that you're making. See, it's easy for us to avoid people so that we can do what we want. But if you truly want to be an influencer, if you truly want to live your life that brings glory to God and honor to Him, then you're willing to be held accountable. You're willing to put your life out there and say, examine my life. I have a gentleman in my life right now that he's allowed me to see every email he gets, or he's allowed me to see the things that he looks at on his phone to hold him accountable. And when you know somebody's watching you, when you know somebody's paying attention to you, it helps you stay accountable. Yes, God sees everything, and He's ultimately the ultimate accountability partner and the Holy Spirit that's with us. But sometimes it's nice to have a brother or sister that's keeping their eye on you. That companionship, that connection. You don't have to turn there, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says this: two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it's telling us it's important to have people in our lives. Because when we fall, when we make a mistake, when we find ourselves in a bad place, there's someone there to help us. There's a person in your life, in my life, that's going to help us stand back up. And maybe this morning you're super discouraged. Maybe this morning a lot of bad things have happened to you over the course of a week or month or this year. And you need someone to just tell you, it's okay, I'm with you. I encourage you. Reach out to someone. Reach out to someone and say, hey, can we sit down and talk? Because just having that one-on-one, face-to-face time is so important to be encouraged and to really just put yourself out there. Find someone that's willing to speak into your life. See, these traveled in the end of this verse, in verse 6, it says that they went to Troas after the Passover, and they stayed there 7 days. For 7 days, Paul and his companions encouraged the church in Troas, encouraged those that were in Troas. They were making an influence in that town. They were making a difference. And the second thing that we're going to see is in verse 7. Read with me. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. That's a long service, wouldn't you admit? There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embraced him, and said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, that's the Apostle Paul, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. No, they were very comforted, is what that really means. So the second thing that we see when it comes to being an influencer, number two, is to put the Lord first. Put God first. Make sure God is your, listen to me, priority. Your priority. Your one priority. See, we live in days now where we have many priorities. And that goes against the definition of the word. The word priority is singular. One priority, and our priority needs to be God. We need to put God first in everything. Notice again in verse 7, it says, now on the first day of the week. The first day of the week. That's Sunday. That's today. It's the first day of the week. On the first day of the week, they came together, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message. So Paul gets together on a Sunday morning and begins to teach a message on the first day of the week. The reason we meet on Sundays is to put God first. The first day of the week, to set our minds right on Sunday morning, to help us throughout our week, is to focus and spend that time with the Lord. Do you make God a priority in your life? And I would probably say yes, because you're on here listening to this message right now. But is God a priority in every day of your life? Not just Sunday morning. And we should give God our first. We should give God our best. And that's the point, that we're giving God our best. We're not giving God our leftovers. We're not coming to God after we've exhausted every other option. No, that God is first. And I love the fact that this church, on the first day that we came together to break bread, that's speaking about fellowship. It's speaking about having a meal together. But it's also speaking about remembering what Jesus did on the cross. It's communion. It's that communion of remembering that Jesus died for us. When you remember that, it puts things in perspective. When you remember that Jesus died for your sins and that your sins have been erased by the blood of Christ, that brings encouragement to you. What an encouraging message that this is as the Apostle Paul comes in and begins to teach this message and speaks till midnight. Aren't you thankful that I'm not going till 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon in this message? No. But Paul had something that God had placed upon his heart, and the people there were ready to listen. But there was this one young man, Eutychus, sitting up in a window. Long message. And I'm certain it had nothing to do with the content of the message, because I can imagine the Apostle Paul taught a very powerful and encouraging message. But Eutychus, because of the time of day, because of the length of the message, began to fall asleep. And I'm going to encourage all of us that if you're going to fall asleep in church, don't be sitting up in a window. Don't be sitting up in a window. And many of you probably watching this right now are sitting in your bed, watching it on your laptops, watching it on a cell phone. The temptation is there to kind of doze off. If we're putting God first, He needs to get our attention. We need to have that focus on God all the time. Are you putting God first in your life? Are you focusing on Him, or are you falling asleep? Are you kicking back and you want rest in your life? Listen, we're going to rest when we get to heaven. We're going to rest when we're in the presence of the Lord and just worshiping Him. Out of these bodies, out of these damaged bodies, out of this flesh, in a new body, just praising God, walking on streets of gold. There's no time to be resting on this side of heaven. There's work to be done. We need to be influencing other people, drawing them to Christ. Paul's message drew people to the Lord. And that was so important. I mean, talk about encouraging. As this young man falls down, what's it say? It says that he fell from the third story, was taken up dead at the end of verse 9. But Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him. Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. This is just amazing to me. As the Apostle Paul is teaching the Word of God, as he is instructing them in the Word and in the things of Jesus, this young man falls and falls down dead. What a distraction, right? No, but what an opportunity. What an opportunity. And the Apostle Paul, almost without missing a beat, stops his message and goes down to this little boy and basically brings him back to life. What moved Paul to move in this way? What moved Paul in his heart to know and to sense that God was using this as an opportunity to show his strength and to show his power? Because I believe because of Paul's commitment to putting God first, he equipped Paul to do this amazing miracle. And Paul was actually following an example. We find this example in 1 Kings, number one, it's in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 21, it says this, and he stretched himself out on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. This is none other than Elijah. Elijah the prophet had this experience, and I encourage you to go to 1 Kings chapter 17 and read the entire story, because it's a story about Elijah coming into town, meeting this poor woman who's ready to make her last meal for her son and to die. And Elijah says to her, make me a meal as well and God will provide. And in the process of this story, her son ends up dying. And Elijah says, no, your son is not dead, and brings him back to life. I believe this story was on the heart of the Apostle Paul. I wouldn't even doubt if Paul wasn't even sharing that story at the moment it happened. when this young boy fell out of the window. Listen, we can follow good examples. We can follow godly examples of other people that have influenced us. Do you have the kind of faith in your life to believe that God is in control because of the influence you've had from other believers? Their confidence in other believers. Listen, there's a lot of people that we can listen to that are saying, you know, things are going to get worse before they get better. Things are going to be, you know, they're going to go down before they come back up. We're going to be doing this for a long time. Some people are saying into the next year, we're going to be still dealing with this pandemic. And it's easy to get caught up in that. And whether that happens or not, God knows. We need to be encouraged by the Lord. Who's encouraging you? Like Elisha encouraged the Apostle Paul to step up. And Elisha did the same thing in 2 Kings, the same kind of story. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child and the flesh of the child became warm. In a little bit after this verse, the child comes back to life. So Elisha, moved by God, restores a child to life. Elisha follows his Elijah's example, does the very same thing. And here the Apostle Paul, during a message, lays on the boy and brings him back to life. It was a powerful testimony to all those that were there in that church, to all those that were in there in that meeting for Paul's message. It was an encouragement to them that God was at work. Maybe you need to see something miraculous, amazing, to know that God's at work. I encourage you, look around you, my friends. There are amazing things happening in people's lives today that are so encouraging that we know God is still at work. As I watch God transform young men's lives that I'm able to minister to, as they're drawing closer to God and being encouraged by God's word, as their faith is increasing, I get encouraged that God is still at work. And I can trust things that I'm dealing with in my life because I'm trusting in what God has done. So, to be a positive influence, you got to be an encourager. And you got to put God first. I would challenge you every single day, get up and put God first. Let God be the first thing that you think about, the first thing that you talk about. It says this in Matthew, Jesus said this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Earlier in this area, Jesus was saying, with food and clothing, with these things you should be content. And then Jesus says, and if you seek God first, all those things will be taken care of for you. Are you seeking God first? And let me say this, as I feel the Lord saying something to me. If you are seeking the Lord, and if you are putting him first, and it feels like things aren't going your way, don't give up. Don't think you're on the wrong path. Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to show you. But sometimes, even when we're still seeking after God, we may not be getting what we want. But you got to know you're getting what you need. And if God feels you need his silence so that you'll trust him, then you need to embrace that. Sometimes God's silence is him saying, you know enough about my character that you should be trusting in me. And it's those times that can be the most difficult. Maybe you're wanting something for your children and it's not coming to pass. Maybe you're wanting something at your workplace and it's just been a long time since you've gotten a promotion or gotten ahead. Don't give up. Put God first. Keep seeking after him. Someone shared a devotion with me a few weeks ago, and it was talking about Joseph and how Joseph had a dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. Joseph had this dream when he was young, and he shared it with his brothers. And it wasn't until many years later before that dream came to fruition. And the devotion that I read that someone shared with me spoke about how God spoke that to Joseph so early that that promise was to carry him through the years until that fulfillment came. Maybe God's given you a promise that you're saying, why isn't it coming to pass? And God's saying, I just want you to hold on to the promise until it comes. Because it's that promise that he's given to you that may be the encouragement that you need to continue to be faithful. Think about that for a moment. Certainly Joseph could have said many times, God, why did you give me that dream? Why did you show that to me? Why did I share it with my brothers? And it took this many years for it to come to pass. But Joseph, in faithfulness, saw God's provision at the, later in his life. And we need to believe that when God's going to do something in the timing of God, his timing is perfect. Don't give up. Don't give up. Lastly, thirdly, and finally, be a positive influence by being an encourager. Be a positive influence by putting the Lord first. And look at this last one, verse 13. Then we went, and notice we're going to see a lot of we's, so Luke is back with us now. Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos. There, intending to take Paul on board, for he had given orders, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day, we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trigillium. And the next day, we came to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost, on the Feast of Harvest. The day of Pentecost was the time for them to remember all that God provided for them. And certainly for us, the day of Pentecost is the day that God poured out his Holy Spirit upon all people. Paul was wanting to get to that place. But something interesting that I see in this last section, and it's kind of just spoken of real briefly at the end of verse 13. Paul had given orders for them to take a boat around, but for himself, he wanted to go on foot. And I just wanted to share this image. Up north, well, you can't see it down on the bottom, unfortunately, but up north there's Troas, and Paul walked 25 miles. That bottom dot was Assos. He walked 25 miles. There you go. There you see it. He wanted to go on a walk. Paul wanted to walk 25 miles instead of sailing, and most people think 40 to 60 miles, sailing around the peninsula there to meet up with his companions. Why did Paul want to go on foot? And I'm going to submit to you a couple things. Number one, I believe he probably wanted to stop along the way and encourage people. Paul's an influencer. So I think he wanted to just walk the town, from town to town, meeting different people and encouraging people in the Lord. Paul had a heart to share the gospel. But I think also, and even more importantly, I think Paul just wanted to be alone and spend time with God. And so this last thing, to be a positive influence, you got to get alone with the Lord. You got to get alone with God and spend some one-on-one time with him. You know, we all are told as Christians to pray and to pray. And I've said it many times. We spend that time in prayer and our minds get distracted and our minds go one way or another into our to-do lists and our problems and we forget and we stop praying. But here's the Apostle Paul on a walk, 25 miles, spending time with God. I look at it as a prayer walk. I look at it as the Apostle Paul saying, I just want undivided attention with God. Where in your life do you have one-on-one time with God? Where in your life do you truly have uninterrupted time with God? See, you might be saying, well, not in my house. My kids are noisy. They're always playing. Not at the workplace. I've got too much I got to do. I got too many responsibilities. And what happens is distractions get in the way of our time with God. And maybe we try to pray when we climb in bed at the end of the night, Lord, I want to pray, and then all of a sudden we fall asleep. I want to just challenge us as well to follow in the footsteps, if you will, of the Apostle Paul, to go on a walk and spend time with the Lord, to take a walk, to take time and get away and just get out of your normal routine, whatever that may be, whether it's a walk, whether it's a drive, whether it's a bike ride, something. Put some action in your prayer. Put some movement in your prayer, because that'll help you focus on the Lord. It's something that I noticed when I went to Israel. I think it was the second time I went to Israel. We were at the Wailing Wall there in Jerusalem, the Western Wall. And I asked our guide, I said, I have a question. I said, why do the Jews, when they're at the wall, why do they like this, they bob, or why do they continually move? And he said something to me. He said, the reason they do that is because they want to be completely engaged in their time of prayer to God. And I have a little clip of these guys. You see this at the Wailing Wall all over the place. Orthodox Jews praying to God. They're reading their prayers, but they're moving. They're constantly moving as they're praying. And I think this is something for us to learn from. I think this can be something that we can glean from, that we need to be active in our time of prayer. And if you struggle with praying, if you struggle with your time with the Lord, then I encourage you on a nice day, get a set of headphones, play some nice calming music, and go for a walk and talk to God. Talk to God. Speak. Even maybe, I would even encourage you to talk out loud. Spend that time with Lord, one-on-one, focus time. Because we need to spend time alone with God if we're going to be an influencer. There's really power in that time spent with the Lord that's undistracted, out of our normal routine. See, Paul wanted to spend time with God, and he knew if he got on that ship that he'd get questions from his friends, he'd be dealing with people on the ship, and he thought, you know what, I'm just going to go by foot. 25-mile walk. Talk about your commitment to God. What are you willing to do to spend time with the Lord? And maybe you're in this place where you're not hearing from the Lord. You're not getting the answers that you need to the problems that are going on in your life. And maybe God's saying, I just want some alone time with you. I'll never forget, at a pastor's conference, a very well-known senior pastor was up there at the pulpit sharing a testimony. And he said that the Lord convicted him big time many years into his ministry. And God knocked on his heart and said, where is the time that you and I spend together? The time that we used to have when you first got saved, the time we used to have when you first became a pastor, the time that we used to have many years ago, we would spend time together intimately as we read the word together and as you prayed to me. We were so close. And now you're so busy, you're not giving me any time with you. May we never hear those words, that God says we're too busy for him. That we would never say to the Lord, Lord, I don't have time for you. We all want God to move in our lives. We all want the Lord to be doing something for us and through us. But if we're not spending time with him, if we're not being still before him, and engaging in that one-on-one time with him, then we'll never be equipped. We'll never be ready for the problems and the dealings of the day. So I encourage you this week to be an encourager to other people, to let people encourage you, but to be encouraging to your coworkers, your family, your friends, to everyone. Be mindful of the people around you. Encourage them. Put God first in your everyday, certainly on Sunday, setting the week aright. Lord, I'm spending time with you. Make a commitment. See, maybe it was many years ago that you had a strong commitment to the Lord. That man, he was speaking to you, he was showing you things, and you were just felt so close to him. But now, many years later, now all of a sudden it seems like you don't hear from God anymore. You're not hearing his voice. You're not getting direction from him. we get too busy. We get too busy with other responsibilities. And listen, we all have responsibilities, whether it's at the workplace or at our homes or with other people. We do have responsibilities, and we should meet those responsibilities, but our priority is God. So be sure to put Him first. And then finally, spend alone time with God. Maybe you spend alone time with everybody else. And I know some of you parents are probably thinking, I don't have time for myself, let alone time for God. I don't have time for my spouse. I don't have time for all of my kids. Find the time. Because when you spend time with God, believe me, all those other relationships will be so much better off. You'll find God giving you the strength to find the time to be with your spouse, to be with your kids, to be with your friends, to be with your loved ones. This is the only life we have. This is the only time we have on earth. Let us not waste it. Let us not be discouraged by it. Let us embrace it and let God use us to influence other people, because that's what He wants us to do. Don't forget, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be taken care of. How you do that and how I do that, only the Lord can tell us. So Lord, help us to seek You. Help us to seek You first above all things. May You be blessed today. And may the Lord honor your heart. And may He honor your commitment to Him. Spend more time with the Lord this week. Maybe even today, on a rainy day, spend time thinking about God. Put aside some of the other things that you were going to plan on doing today. And for some time, spend time with God. He'll make sure you're an influencer, just like He did the Apostle Paul. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for Your word and how grateful we are, Lord, to read this area of text and to see You use the Apostle Paul in an amazing way and to see his commitment to You, Lord, and his desire to spend time, devoted time with You. And how many times do we see in our Bibles our Lord Jesus going off by Himself to spend time with His Father? And if our Lord needs time with His Father, then we certainly need time with our Father and our God. So God, I pray for our church. I pray for those listening. I pray, God, that You would bless them. I pray that You would encourage them. And I pray that their commitment to You would be strengthened. I pray that You would draw them ever closer to You and to Your will. Bless them today. Bless their week as they've put You first. May we continue to put You first throughout this week. To You be the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next time.